And if you're sticking around in here, would you take your Bibles and go to John chapter 12 with me? John chapter 12. And while you're turning there, see if you can do two things at once. You'll put the verse up on the screen, John 10:10. See if you can turn to John 12 without looking and then study your verse while you're at it. Anybody that, I'm not that talented, so. All right, John 10:10. You should know this by now. We said it last week as well. Let's pull it down from the screen if you would, and let's say it together. You ready? John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. All right, very good, very good. Now let me ask you this. How many of you have something in this life that you want? Would you raise your hand? Something in this life that you want. Okay? Let's do something fun, shall we? On the count of three, I want everybody to say out loud that one thing that you want. You got it in your mind? Okay, you ready for it? One, two, three. Oh, that was terrible. How many of you are struggling to think of something? How many of you don't want to say it out loud? That's even better. All right. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have something in this life that you need? How many of you have something in this life that you need? Anybody? Okay. There's something that you need. Okay, good. Now, would it be fair to say that we all understand that wants and needs are different? Can we all agree to that? That's kind of like something we all need to agree on. If we don't, we're not going to get through this very well. Wants are things that would be nice to have, okay? Wants are things that would be nice to have. However, they are not necessary for survival, okay? Things that are nice to have but not necessary for survival. Needs are things that are essential to life. Needs are things that are essential to life. According to our memory verse, John 10:10, let me ask you, why did Jesus come? He said, I am come to give what? Life. Okay, so think about this. According to our memory verse, Jesus came to give us life. So based on the definition of needs, is it safe to say that Jesus came to provide our needs? Let me say, definition of needs is this, things that are essential to life. Jesus came to give us life. Is it safe to say that Jesus came to provide our needs? In fact, I would say yes. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's an amazing verse. But herein lies the problem with humanity, at least in North America. Most of us think we know what we need, don't we? Most of us think we know what our needs are. You could probably list them for me. In fact, we had very few people raise their hand that said they have needs. There are some, but needs. Last week, last Saturday night, we were sitting in the house after being outside all day, and I thought, man, it's hot in here. And I went and checked the thermostat, and the thermostat was at 27 degrees, and it was set to 22 degrees. And I thought, that's not good. I went outside and looked at the air conditioner, and the air conditioner is not spinning like it should. And I said, that's not good. I hate being hot. I hate being hot. And it was hot. We had fans running in our house, and there was no breeze to speak of course, on that night. Any other day at our house, the wind's blowing 1,000 kilometers an hour. Yet, on this particular night, so in our house, fans going, guess how hot it was? It was 32 degrees in our house. Now, all I could think of laying there at night, literally just dripping into my mattress, I said this, I need to get that air conditioner fixed. I need to get that air conditioner fixed. Meanwhile, 46% of Canadians. 46% of Canadians and 75% of the world does not have any form of air conditioning whatsoever. So let me ask you this question. Is air conditioning a need or a want? It's definitely a want. Trust me when I say this is very convicting. Now, this begins to beg the question, do I really know what I need? Do I really know what I need? You see, our story today displays this truth so well. But most of us, and most of the time, we will not investigate this story too far for truthfully, for fear of what it might reveal about ourselves. The story today is the story of the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Let's begin. We're in John chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 12. The Bible says this. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. So I want you to stop there for a second. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, riding on the colt of a donkey. And the people are cheering for him. The people are excited. The people are exasperated. How wonderful of a moment this is. Historians tell us that these palm branch parades were used when great triumphs were had by great conquerors. Apparently, many times in the 400 years before Jesus Christ came, different uprisings had happened. And they crushed the enemies of Israel. And then people would take the branches of palm trees and they would lay them out and they would wave them for that great conqueror returning home. And they would shout and so grateful for how he had worked so hard to free Israel. Now let me ask you this question for you, those of you who know your Bible. What had Jesus conquered up to this point? Nothing. Right? He had not really conquered anything. He had lived life, he had been 3 years performing miracles, doing wonderful things, helping people, but Jesus had not conquered anything. So in reality, what they were doing was they were calling on him to do something. They were calling on him to conquer. They were asking him to conquer. In fact, if you look at verse 16, John chapter 12 and verse 16, the Bible says that these things understood not his disciples at the first. So even the disciples are like, why are these people doing this? What is going on? Why is this happening? Why are they doing this? But all of this was to be done because there was a prophecy. A prophecy written down 500 years before Jesus Christ. And it's found in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Where the Bible says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, a colt, the foal of an ass. So this is a direct prophecy. In fact, John writes this down in verse 15 for us. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. So this was a prophecy 500 years before Jesus Christ. And this must happen. But this is not really what we normally see out of Jesus Christ, do we? Most of the time, what have we seen? We've seen crowds gather around him, and we've seen him slip through the crowds. We've seen crowds gather around him, and he says, listen, don't tell anybody. Keep it a secret. But something's different this time. By the way, did you notice what they said? The words that they said. Look at verse 13, excuse me. Took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Hosanna means, oh, save us. Oh, save us, or bring salvation now. They're crying out, oh, save us. Bring us salvation now. They were calling on Jesus to save them. They also called on him, notice please, the King of Israel. The King of Israel. They are, if you will, 100% behind this man. You're our king. We want you. We are here for you. We want you as our king. Save us now. Give us salvation now. We want it now. We want you. You are the man. You are the person for this hour. This is what we want. They wanted him to be their king. Even the Pharisees are at a loss. You remember, thus far in our passage in the book of John, the Pharisees have put an all call out for Jesus. Anybody who knows the whereabouts of Jesus Christ is supposed to tell us where he is. Why? Because they wanted to do everything they could to kill Jesus, to kill him. But notice verse 19, John 12 and verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." They were trying to get Jesus Christ killed, and they say simply, we have not prevailed at all. We have absolutely failed. The entire world has gone after him now. And you can picture the scene, right? Like, massive parade, massive amounts of people. Jerusalem was full at the time. In fact, it was such a big parade that the entire city of Jerusalem wondered, what is going on? They could tell something incredible had happened. So honestly, Jesus went from being killed to being king. He went from being killed to now wanting to be, for the people wanting him to be king. Now this is an incredible turn of events for Jesus. He had some really difficult times. The people had wanted to kill him, stone him, and now they're rallying around him. This truly is the King of Israel, and now they are looking to him. Now, what does this teach us? How is this helpful to us in 2025? Well, I believe context is important in the Bible. In fact, I want you to see verses 17 and 18. We kind of skipped over those. The Bible says this, "The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record." So there's people standing around that have seen Lazarus raised from the dead. Verse 18, "For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle." So they're standing around because he had done this miracle. So there are many people there because they had heard about what Jesus had done for Lazarus. So in context, we have a couple of stories here that might help us understand this one. You'll remember Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was sick and Jesus was called. Yet what did Jesus do? He waited 4 days. By the time he got to Lazarus, where was Lazarus? Dead. The sisters requested for Jesus to come and heal him of his sickness, but Jesus waited. They thought they needed Jesus to heal Lazarus of his sickness, but that was what they wanted. Let me be clear. They thought they wanted Jesus, or they needed Jesus, excuse me, to heal Lazarus from his sickness, but that is what they wanted. They thought they needed Jesus to heal, but Jesus knew what they needed. Mary and Martha did not need Lazarus to be healed from his sickness. Mary and Martha needed to believe that Jesus could raise the dead to life. That's actually what they needed. The next story we see in the context is Mary, the same sister Mary, anointing the feet of Jesus. She takes an extremely expensive ointment and she puts it on the feet of Jesus. She lays it there and then wipes that up with her hair. Wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, Judas and others thought it was necessary to take that ointment and sell it and give it to the poor, right? Why was this done? This needs to be done. We need to do this. What is Jesus saying? No, she did this for my burial. These people though they thought they needed to help the poor. This is our need. This is what we need to do. But that is what they wanted to do. And Judas, of course, wanted to skim a little off the top for himself. But Jesus knew what they needed. They needed to recognize that Jesus was going to be put to death and buried. That's what they needed. So the point I'm trying to make today is this. That often we think that we know what we need, but we really don't. We often think we know what we need, but we really don't. Here's the person who actually knows what we need. Jesus. Jesus, God, really knows what we need. You say, Pastor Jones, how in the world does this fit into the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ? How in the world does this all fit in? Listen, the Jews were waiting for Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one, the king of Israel, the one who would deliver them. That's what they were waiting for. That's what the Old Testament prophets have prophesied all along. That's what Isaiah had talked about in Jeremiah. They all prophesied about a Messiah that would come, that would deliver them. But hear me, they thought they needed someone to deliver them from Rome. They thought they needed someone to deliver them politically. They thought they needed a political savior. They thought Jesus would be their triumphant physical savior. But here's the point I want you to see. These same people, listen, these same people who were shouting Hosanna on Palm Sunday, 1 week later would be shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. 1 week. That's like you coming back to church next week. And you say this today. Pastor Yeomans, how are you doing today? Oh, good. I had such a good week. I hope you're doing well. I've been praying for you. Blah, 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 blah. All good things. And then next week, I hate your stinking guts. You make me vomit. Where'd that come from? 1 week later. From Hosanna to crucify him. Why would they do this? Again, because they thought they needed a political savior. But what they really needed, what they actually needed was they needed to be saved from their sin. You see, so often you and I think we need something, but Jesus knows what we actually need. He understands what we actually need, and what we think we need is pales in comparison to what we actually need. It pales in comparison. The only way that they could be saved from their sin is if Jesus died for them. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their, what? Their sins. Their sins. These people were completely and utterly fine to be shouting Hosanna when they thought Jesus would be their physical political savior. But when they figured out that he wasn't going to fulfill that desire, all he was going to do was die for them. They all forsook him. In fact, the Bible even tells us that the disciples forsook him and fled. If you'll allow me, this is kind of where I want to park it for a minute. You and I are okay to identify with Jesus so long as it satisfies what we think we need. We're okay to identify with Jesus so long as it satisfies what we think we need. There's all kinds of examples of this, and I'm going to get myself into a lot of trouble in about 3 seconds. There was a great amount of people that wanted to claim religion. They wanted to claim Jesus Christ. They wanted to claim, listen to this, a religious exemption from getting a COVID shot, but never wanted to claim Jesus Christ any other time before or since. You see, there's a myriad of people who will call out to Jesus when they're going through a difficult time in life. Oh, God, I'll do anything. Just get me out of this situation. Free me from this issue. Take away this problem and I'll do anything. And God answers that prayer and says, okay, fine. And what do? Thanks for that. See you later. Never to be seen or heard from again. Even us good Christians who show up on church on Sundays. We'll read our Bible, we'll pray, we'll praise his name when we need him for something. But when we don't need anything from him, we act like we don't even know him. Some of us, there are people in our workplace that don't even know we're Christians. There are people on our street that don't even know that we're serving Jesus Christ. It's getting real quiet in here. Often we can shout Hosanna 1 minute when we think that that will get us out of a jam, and we will forsake him the next when it's no longer popular. Let me ask you this question. Would being delivered from Rome make the Jews' life better, yes or no? Probably, actually. They could be free. They could do what they want. At least in the immediate, right? Because you and I think the same way, don't we? Listen, we love Canada. We love this country where we get to come to church on Sunday and do what we want, and we get to spend our weekends doing what we want. And listen, we love it. But if this wasn't here, what would we fight for? We would fight for our freedom. We would. Why? Because we enjoy our freedom. We love our freedom. It's spectacular. But listen, these people did not have freedom. They were slaves to Rome. So yes, it sure would have, but that's not what they needed. They didn't need a better life. They needed everlasting life. They needed life more abundant. Listen, and the same is true with us today. Jesus promises us life, and he promises us life more abundant. But far too often, we are crying out, crucify him. You say, I would never say that. I would never say crucify him. Yeah, but we would say this, not me, Lord. Do that to someone else, Lord, not me, Lord. Why does this have to happen to me? I don't want any part of this. No, God, I'm not going there. No, God, I'm not doing that. So we would never say crucify him, but we would deny Jesus Christ. Or we might even say, not today, I'm too busy. Not here, not now. We're in constant state of saying no to Jesus Christ. Often we think, well, I have no good use for Jesus. And again, I would never say that. Of course I have good use for Jesus. Yeah, but we would say this, I have no good use for Jesus in this area of my life. God, I'll give you everything except for this. God, I'll give you my house. I'll give you my car, but you can't take my hobby. God, I'll go to church on Sundays, and I'll spend time with you on Sundays, but I get the rest of the week. God, you have my life in every area except this one addiction that I have. You can't have that. You see, we're constantly saying no to Christ. We say we have no need of him in certain areas of our lives, but really we don't even know what we need. We don't. We think we do. We think we know what we need. But Jesus knows exactly what we need. He knows. He knows that you and I need more patience. He knows that. Also this week, on top of the air conditioner, we got the air conditioner fixed, by the way. Praise God. Just a couple days later, Lance wakes up in the middle of the night screaming. And I don't know if we got 2 hours worth of sleep that night. He ended up being sick and having all these problems and whatever. I'm telling you what, when I'm hot, I'm cranky. But when I'm tired and hot, I'm really cranky. Listen, I stand here, and I listen to myself say those words. And I think, boy, oh boy, did I suffer for Jesus this week. Lack of sleep, lack of air conditioning. And then I think about Jesus. And I think about martyrs across this world who are dying for the sake of Jesus Christ. And here I am, a little frustrated because my conveniences of life are not what I want them to be. So maybe God knew this week that I just needed to trust in Him a little bit more. Maybe God knew that I needed some patience this week. You see, God knows what I need. And He allows things to come into my life that I have no idea. And what do? I get upset. God, why would you do this to me? Not this week, any other time, any other person. Not me, not now, not here. No. But God knows what I need. He understands what I need. He knows that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil. Why? Because He is with me. Does that mean we'll never walk through the valley of the shadow of death? No, it does not. It means that sometimes He's going to lead us to the valley of the shadow of death. We like the green pastures, don't we? Woo, those are my favorite times. Still waters, green pastures, laying in the grass, cool breeze. Man, that's awesome. But listen, He doesn't just lead us there. He walks us through the valley of the shadow of death. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Well, that sounds like a whole lot of fun, doesn't it? If I'm going to eat, I don't want to be sitting with a bunch of enemies looking at me, staring at me, thinking I'm going to kill you while you're eating. In fact, I want to have a bunch of friends around me who are enjoying the meal together. Listen, God doesn't always do what we want Him to do, but He knows what we need. Very few people in this world are prepared to identify with Jesus on the cross. They're okay to identify with Him as the King. But very few are prepared to identify with Him on the cross. Very few people are prepared to die to self. Very few people are willing to give up their dream life to live a life in full surrender to Jesus Christ. Let's be honest. Mary and Martha struggled to give up Lazarus to Jesus Christ. They did. Go back and read the story. Why weren't you here? Why didn't you do this? Judas did not want to give up the expensive ointment for the glory of Jesus Christ. Why was that not sold? We could have made money on that. And listen, you and I are no better. We run from the possibility of denying ourselves anything because we believe the lie that if we get what we think we need, then we are the ones who are living our best life. But Jesus tells us, don't miss this, Jesus tells us that if we want to live, we have to die. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me, number one, let him deny himself. Number two, take up his cross. Number three, and follow Me. Watch this, verse 25. For whosoever will save his life shall what? Shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for whose sake? For My sake, shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, again, you and I, we spend so much time gathering things, and I'm going to be honest, I have things. Sometimes I think I have too much stuff. Come look at my garage right now. We have too much stuff. But the reality is this, stuff is not the problem. It's the love of stuff. It's the I got to get more stuff. I got to live this life. I got to have what makes me popular. I have to have what makes me look rich. I have to have this, and I have to have this esteem. I have to have all these things. Listen, those will fade. The air conditioner that you spent so much money on, you're going to spend money on it again. That car that you love so much, guess what? It'll break down. That house, those kids, that family, I could go on and on and on. If you try to save your life, the Bible says you will lose it. But if you'll lose your life for the sake of Jesus Christ, you will find it. The point I want to leave you with this morning is simply this. Will you trust Jesus with your life? Will you trust Jesus with your life? Will you shout Hosanna when things are going just like you planned them? And will you shout Hosanna when they are not? When things go bad, will you still shout Hosanna? Will you shout Hosanna when you feel like your needs are being met? And will you shout Hosanna when you feel like your needs are not being met? There's a verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and it says simply this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in everything. Most in this room, I believe, have trusted Jesus Christ with your eternal life. Can I ask you this? Will you trust that he knows exactly what you need for the abundant life? The abundant life. Maybe you sit here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior yet. You don't know that he died on the cross for your sins. You don't know who Jesus is. You may not even heard of him before. Can I encourage you today to start asking more questions? The Bible says that God, Jesus, will give you eternal life. Most will deny that. Why? Because they don't think they need it. Why do I need eternal life? I've got a great life here. I've got a wonderful life here on this earth. Why do I need eternal life? Listen, don't deny what you need because you don't think you need it. He's already provided it for you. You just have to receive it. Listen, I don't know what it is that you're expecting God to do. But my hope and prayer in writing and preaching this message was simply that we would just trust him. That he knows exactly what we need when we need it. And that we would always shout Hosanna. He would always be the king of our lives. We would quit denying him and saying, crucify him. Not today, Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. Father, I pray that you would have your will be done in this moment. There's so much that has been said already and so much, I'm sure, that could be said more. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will do work in our hearts and lives. There's no possible way I could cover every angle. But your Holy Spirit can work where I can. So I pray for that now. Father, if there's one person here today that doesn't know you as personal Savior yet, they don't even necessarily know who you are or what you've done for them, I pray that maybe today they would come ask some questions, get some further information, and that they would see their need of a Savior. Whatever you'll do in this place, we'll give you the praise and glory for it.